Hallelujah. So today we celebrate that after being crucified, dying for our sins, as he said he would, Jesus Christ bursts forth from the grave. Because it is the wages of sin is death. It is sin that causes death. Christ knew no sin. He became sin for us that we could be the righteous of God. But because he was sinless, nothing could hold him down. Death could not hold him down. And as he said, the sinless Son of God on the third day burst forth from the grave in victorious triumph, triumphing over everyone's enemy, death itself. And what this passage that Angela read means is that it speaks about, in verse 20, he has become the first fruits. That those that believe in Christ, when there's a harvest, the harvest doesn't all come in at once. When the season changes and the harvest is about coming, they're the first fruits that come. And then there's a pause and then the rest of the harvest comes. And what this means is as Christ has gone through death and rose again, that if you're in Christ and you believe him, there after a season of your life, you too will go through death and rise again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is our hope and that is our joy. Then it says that even your bodies that you have, you know, when Christ was rose, his body was glorified. People didn't recognize him. So when you rise again, your body is going to be glorified. If you've got sickness, if you've got sin, that's all gone. You're going to have a glorified body, a perfected body. You're going to be like him because of a resurrection. That he has defeated every enemy for us. Sin, sickness, death. You will not only rise again, but you'll rise with a glorified, flawless, perfected body to reign and to live with him forever. That's what we remember today. But one of the great flaws of Christianity, and there's a difference between religion and really walking with God, but one of the great flaws of religion is that we come to passages in the scripture and we just think they're historically true. And of course the resurrection is historically true. We know it's historically true because some people say, oh, Jesus' body was taken away, it was stolen. But the disciples who followed him, they died for that resurrection. They preached resurrection, they died for it. No one will die for a lie. So we know it's historically true, but Christianity is much more about just historical facts, believing historical facts. You know, Jesus said, and the scriptures say, Jesus died and we all died with him. We entered into his death. We die. We die to self-centeredness. We die with him. And as Jesus was crucified on a cross, we are called into the experience of the cross. It's not just a historical fact. It's for us. There is a cross. Jesus said, you can't come to me unless you pick up your cross and follow me. And people here, you have crosses. You've been given crosses. We all have crosses to bear. And some of your crosses, maybe it's your crosses, your singleness. And the purpose of that cross is to crucify your flesh so that the glory of God, the life of Christ can come out with you. And maybe you're glorifying God in your singleness, but your cross, there's a deep loneliness in your life. That's your cross. And sometimes you think, oh, if only I had a partner. But often, even if you have a partner, your spouse can be your cross. You can come home to a spouse and everyone else at work appreciates you, but your spouse, all she sees is negativity in you. All she sees is the negative and the criticism, and it's hard, and it's really hard, but you got a covenant. You stay in there, and sometimes it feels like it's killing you, but God is working in that. He's killing your cross to bring your flesh, to bring Christ out, the glory. Your cross can be your children. You know, you just want them to walk with Christ, but they won't, and it feels like it's killing you. Or maybe if you're a child, your cross is you've got an ungodly parent. You're saved, but you've got a parent who's abusive, who's hard with you, and you come home and God calls you to honor your father and your mother, and it's hard. It's hard. Maybe your cross is just loneliness, and it's hard. It's hard as you carry your cross. But I want to tell you, God has a great purpose in your cross. Jesus says, this is what Paul says. Paul says, I want to know Christ and I know him by the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. In your cross, God is confirming you to the likeness of his son. That's how you can rejoice in your cross. That's how you can rejoice in suffering. You know the purpose of it. You see that the Apostle Paul, he had a pattern in his life. His cross was his mission work. And he often was persecuted. He often was down. Once he was stoned in Lystra at the fellowships of the sufferings. But what we celebrate on Easter Sunday is that the sufferings and the cross is not the end of your story. Every time Paul went through sufferings, and when he was stoned, straight after he was stoned, the power of resurrection came into him. When they thought he was dead, he raised him up. And on Sunday, we recognize that for Jesus, the cross seemed to be the end of his story. And your sufferings may seem like they're going on and on and on. The cross that you bear may feel like it's endless and it's going on. But I want to tell you, your cross is not the end of your story. The power of the resurrection is for you today. And Jesus said, and Paul said, he said, this is what he said. He said, as Christ was dead and it seemed hopeless and it seemed over and his suffering was final. On the third day, the power of God unto salvation came into that tomb and raised him back up. And what this means, the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to all who believe. And it's important when you're carrying your cross, when you're in that place where you're suffering, it's so important you have the joyful expectation that that's not all it's going to be. Hope means that you have the joyful expectation the power of God is going to come into your situation and turn it around. Why it is so important that you live in that place, the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And God wants you to know, he wants you to live in that place, that Easter is not just about Sunday, it's about Monday, it's about Tuesday, it's about Wednesday, that his power will come into my problem. His power is coming into my problem. Sooner or later, it's coming, and it's going to redeem the thing. And I know him by the fellowship of his sufferings, but it's always accompanied. The sufferings are always accompanied by the power of his resurrection for those who believe. You know, I mentioned this last night, but I want to share it again. Jesus, he made this statement, and he wants you to understand this today. When he came to the graves of Lazarus, he made this statement. The egocentric statements Jesus makes, not egotistical, but he's unlike anyone else in human history. He said, you want light? I'm the light of the world. You want to know what truth is? I am the truth. Everything I do, everything I say is true. Everything about me is true. But he also said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that means what he was saying is that he is not only the one who has authority over death and will triumph over death, but he said, he came to Mary's grave and he said this, it looked like Lazarus was dead and it looked like the situation was finished. It looked like it was hopeless. And he made this statement. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? Most important thing about you, it's not how you look, it's what you believe about Jesus Christ. I tell you that today. Do you believe? And what he was saying is, do you believe I am the resurrection? And what he was saying is that he is the source of resurrection power. Like many great rivers, they've got many streams, but there's only one source. And Jesus Christ is the source of resurrection because what causes death is sin, and he's the only one that's dealt with the problem of sin. And so he is the source of resurrection power. Do you believe? It's so important that you believe. What do you need to believe? You believe he loved you and he came to give to release that power into your cross, your situation that's hard. He came, not to make you religious, but he came to release his power into your life. Do you believe it? Do you believe he is the source of resurrection power? Because when he came to the tomb, he wanted to do something extraordinary. He wanted to raise Lazarus. He wanted to do a miracle. He wanted to release his power into his present day hardship and problem. But when he came and he said, I am the source of resurrection power. Do you believe? Mary said, she said, yeah, we believe that when we die, we're going to be raised again with you. But when he went to the tomb, she said, don't remove the stone because it stinks. So what she was saying is, I believe that you'll raise me when I'm dead. You will raise me to life, but I don't believe you have power for my present day problem. I don't believe you have power to change what seems to not be changing. I don't believe you have power to do the impossible. But God said the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is only available, not through emotionalism, not through religion. It's the same power is available to all who believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? I tell you what the power of Jesus does. When he came to that tomb, Lazarus was dead, completely dead. But his disciples believed. They'd seen enough. They believed. And some people here, you're dead. You're spiritually dead because you've never been forgiven. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And all who are born after Adam are born in sin. And that means that you're spiritually dead. You're not connected to God because your sin separates you from God. You're like Lazarus. You're dead and you'll be eternally dead. But the resurrection power of Jesus, he came to that dead grave and he spoke and he commanded Lazarus, come forward. And when Lazarus became obedient to the words of Jesus and came forward, he was born again. And that's what the power of God, the power of Jesus, the greatest miracle he wants to release into people's life. He wants to come to you who are dead in your sin, dead in your trespasses. You know you got death working in you, and he wants to give you new life. He wants to give you resurrection life. He wants to give you eternal life, which is called abundance life. He wants to quicken the dead to life. And you simply get that. You simply receive that by becoming obedient, responsive to his word. And he came to that grave and he called Lazarus, who was dead, and Lazarus was born again. But also, when he was there, and same when Christ was dead in the tomb, there was a massive great stone in front of the tomb. There was a massive great stone in front of Lazarus's tomb. And when Christ came, when he was risen, and when he came to Lazarus's tomb, the stone was rolled away. And that stone represents impossibilities. It represents things that you can't move, because a stone was like 2 tons. And when Christ comes, he wants you to believe that no matter what you're suffering, everything is impossible. He'll roll that stone away. And thirdly, when he called Lazarus forward, Lazarus was wrapped in grave clothes. So when he became obedient to Christ's word, Lazarus was born again, the stone was rolled away, and he came forth, but he was still bound. And you know what those grave clothes represent? They represent the things that are associated with death. You can be saved, but still bound by guilt and shame. You can be saved, but still be bound by rejection. You can be saved, but bound by addiction. You can be saved, but your life can be bound up with fear and anxiety, and you're not free. You can be bound. I've seen Christians so many times, they're saved, but they're still bound. And Jesus came to Lazarus, gave him new life, rolled the stone away, set him free completely, and Lazarus came forth in a completely new life, abundant life. Jesus, David made this statement. He said, you've brought me out into a broad place. This is what the power of God does in salvation. It brings us out completely from every tomb. Every impossibility, he wants to roll away. He wants to remove every grave clothes, everything that's associated with death, every bit of fear, so that you come out and you say, I'm the freest person here. I am completely alive. I don't know what's happened to me, but there's something new in me. There's a life in me I never had before. I'm not just forgiven, but I'm completely set free from everything that was negative before that was happening in my life. Everything that was holding me down, I'm free again. Who the Son sets free is free. And I ask you today, are you completely free? I remember I was sitting in a room one day in a hotel in America, and I was saved. I was saved at a Billy Graham concert, a crusade, not a concert. I was saved in 1977 or 79. I forget which date it was, but it was when he came to Randwick. I got saved then. But I was not free. And I had all this stuff in my life. I was so full of fear. In those days, I worked in the financial markets, but I had fear. I had fear of death. I had fear of failure. I had such fear of lack and financial stuff because my father used to be a gambler. And I had such fear that I was gonna end up in impoverished situation. That every night I used to come home, didn't matter what I do, I used to trade and I used to add up my net worth. I used to revalue everything and I'd look at it and I'd add up my net worth and I could not sleep until I'd done it because I was saved, but I was still bound. And Jesus Christ came into my room and he set me free. He set me free and I woke up the next morning and I said, I'm a new creation. Something has happened here. That it's a miracle. I'm just completely changed. I'm completely transformed. And I used to say, I'm the happiest person alive. And I don't even know what I've got, but it was abundant life. And I used to say to people, but what I have got, it's not for sale. No matter what you offer me, it's not for sale. Jesus Christ, he not only wants to save you, but he wants to set me free. Let me just read to you. It's hot here today, so I don't want to preach long. We're going to be back here tonight. See the power of God in action. Let me just read to you what Malachi said. Malachi chapter 4. It says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. And he has arisen. Hallelujah. And this is what he has. He's had the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like a calf-fed stall. And you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On this day, I'll do this, says the Lord. It speaks about the Son, the S-U-N of righteousness. This is Christ. And it's like when he rose, there are rays of power that comes from his being because he's still alive and the same power that raised him from the dead is still flowing to people who believe. And there's a picture here of a calf who's not living in its destiny. Calves are supposed to be in the paddock, but it's in a stall and it's tethered and it's bound. It's bound. And then the Son of Righteousness comes, and the effect of the rays of the glory that comes from this Son of Righteousness has three effects. It says, this calf is set free, it shall go out. What is tethering it will be broken, it will go out. So it will be delivered from what is holding it back. And then it will grow fat, that is prosperity. Jesus wants you to prosper, he wants you to grow fat, he wants your life to increase because of the increase of his kingdom, there is no end. And then he says you will trample the enemy, you will become powerful, you will not become a victim. You will become people who understands their authority and God is able to use to set other free. They're the three works that the resurrection power had on this calf, that it was set free. It grew fat and prospered and it became powerful. The resurrection power of Jesus is not just to save us. We praise God that it does save us, but it's to set you completely free. It's for you to come into a place. That calf was meant to be in a paddock, and a paddock for a calf is paradise. It's for you to come into a place where you say, I'm the happiest person alive. Even though I've got issues, even though I've got problems, I've got a peace and a joy flowing with me. I'm prospering. My soul is prospering because I'm connected to the King of Heaven. I'm connected, and there's a peace and a joy in me I can't understand. My soul is prospering. And not only that, for you then to become powerful, that everything the enemy tries to bring under you, you know your authority, and you say, no, I'm trampling you back under my feet. I'm in Christ. You're under me. Do you have all those things? Do you have all those things? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you free? Are you prospering? And are you powerful? Because Christ is in you. I want to tell you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is able to do all that for everybody here today. That is God's plan for you. How is it received? For all who believe. And what do you need to believe? I just quickly finish. What do you need to believe? There's a passage in Numbers 21 I really love. And the people, they've been grumbling about God. And they're bitten by serpents. They've been bitten by serpents. And death is at work in them. And people are dying. People, they come to Moses and they say, we're dying. Moses cries out to God and said, all the people are dying. Death's working at them. And he says, what'll I do? And God says, Moses, lift up a serpent on a stick. And when the people look at it, everything, every bit of death that's working in them, when they look at it, it'll be destroyed because new life will flow when they look at the serpent. And Jesus said, as it happened in the wilderness, the Son of Man will be lifted up. And all who are suffering, all who are afflicted by the power of death, when they look to what God has lifted up for the purpose of salvation, the power will flow, which releases new life, which sets you free, which destroys every power of death. But the power is in the cross. There's no resurrection power without the cross. But when you look to what God has provided for your salvation, to forgive you, to heal you, to set you free. When you look to Christ, I want to tell you what happens. Every bit of death that's working in you is destroyed and new life is released. Christ is not only risen, but he's releasing new life to his people who believe every day. And if you've got something in you today that's just not good, it's just not whole, but it's working in your life, I want you to come today, come down here and come to the cross believing that the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is still working today. It's still available today. It's still destroying every power of darkness today. It's still setting captives free today. It'll do that in your life. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody. You just come today. God wants you forgiven, freed, released from everything associated with death, prospering, powerful, coming into the full plans of salvation. He loves you so much. He didn't die to half set you free. He didn't die just so you could go to heaven. He said, I come that you could not have life like everybody else has here. I died, I came that you could have an abundant life. An abundant life. A life full of my goodness, a life full of peace, a life full of joy that doesn't rock you. And you have it every day. Not just a resurrection Sunday. That power flows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It just flows as we believe. So whatever your situation is today, it's not permanent. Whatever your cross is, it's not permanent. It may be your Friday, but I want to tell you, Sunday's coming. It may be your Friday, but Sunday's coming. The power of God. You've got to expect it. You've got to believe in it. You come today. God's going to set people free here today because his power is in this house.